It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine. With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with the France. So we're continuing with France tonight. Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport, Mass.
HaberHill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com. In Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery. New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93 on the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebock Winery. We are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Blackhead Lake Winery, and we're located at Crusher Park in Montana.
Famous Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
You know, thank you.
Yeah, it's really great to have them. And I was just going to comment before I got disconnected. Thank you, Skype or whoever. That I last year, I don't know if you know, Ron. You probably don't know this because we're in separate locations in Florida here. But last year, to get our bus people to applaud like that, I used to have to hold up a sign that said, you know, applaud or clap or laugh or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Now we have gotten so good, they just do it on their own.
That's fantastic.
I'm telling you. So. Anyway.
That's fantastic. Well, it could be the free wine too.
The free wine, and plus I have a 14-foot gator in the front, just
there
in case they act up or something, keeps them in line. So the pet gator.
Your pet gator.
So,
my engineer here says that you cannot make a pet out of a reptile.
Really?
Yeah. Well, think about it.
I used to have a snake. A snake is a reptile.
Yes, but was it really a pet?
Of course.
Or would it just bite you?
As long as I kept feeding it, it was a pet. So
it's like the old song, remember? You knew I was a snake when you took me in.
So, what's the show about? Oh, I forgot.
let's get back to our roots. All about wine. Here it goes. I see it right on the screen.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. And it says I dropped. Oh, that's good. Okay. So here we are. But I redialed it real quick, so we're good. And I'm going to go out real quick and get our guest for tonight. And
get
so I'll be right back.
Guest, and yeah. We'll talk to you when you get back on here. We have a couple guests. We had a couple guests tonight. One of them called me a little bit earlier and said he wasn't well. A little bit under the weather there, so I told him to take care of himself. He'll be joining us next week, so don't run away. We have someone coming back with us next week. But tonight, we have a guest who is, like I told you last week, we are in Rhode Island, and this guest is Joe Sherry, the owner of Langworthy Farm Winery in Rhode Island. We'll hopefully get him on here. He told me he's very busy. He said that he's been doing a lot of stuff and very busy, and he said that he would make the time to talk with us for a little bit tonight. So he may not be on long, but at least we'll get him on, and we'll get him talking about the winery a little bit and get him telling us about what's going on. And then, like I say, our other guest, a little under the weather tonight, so he won't join us, but as always, I've got plenty of things to talk about, odds and ends and things to pass on to you here and all that about wine. Rhode Island small, but we will be spending a couple, 3 weeks there. And it looks like Joe's ready. Let's get him on the air here. Hello, Joe. How are you doing this evening? Oh, he's not on. There we go. Hello, Joe. How are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really quite well. Glad you were able to take a little bit of time to join us tonight.
Happy to do it.
Tell us about Langworthy Farm.
Well, we're a small winery. We have about an acre and a half of vines planted currently. Our plans are to plant another 2 acres, but we're producing white wines right now. We have Chardonnay and Pinot Blanc planted.
What was the last one? Pinot?
Pinot Blanc.
Oh, Pinot Blanc. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we're producing several varieties of a Chardonnay. We have a stainless steel Chardonnay. We also have a Reserve and an American Oak Chardonnay as well. And we have a blend of Chardonnay and Pinot Blanc also.
Wow.
So we're as you're well aware, New England has primarily been a white growing area, but we also bring in some grapes from Long Island, some red grapes where we produce some Merlots and Cabernets and that type of thing.
Oh. The acreage that you have, is that the only thing you have planted there then, is the Chardonnay and the Pinot Blanc?
It is, yeah. Yeah, New England has primarily been a white growing area, as you're well aware. Yeah.
And when you expand, are you going to stay with those two?
Yeah,
or are you going to
we are going to plant some red varieties. We're probably going to plant some Merlot and also some Cabernet Franc, which grows well in this area and produces a pretty good wine. So those are the two that we have planned anyway.
I noticed on the map that you're located way down at the very tip of Rhode Island there. I'm sure you got a very mild climate because of that.
We do, yeah. We're on the Connecticut border right in the southwest corner, and we have a usually a fairly mild, as you well aware. New England can be unpredictable, but for the most part, we have a pretty mild climate. We're a half a mile from the ocean. So we get the breezes off the ocean, and we have a good growing climate for the white grapes here.
The while we're on climate, what let's continue that. What do you usually get as your highs in the summer and lows in the winter?
Well, we're normally in the 80s, and we get a fairly good stiff breeze off the ocean, so we have a relatively mild climate. Lows in the winter usually is in the 30s is a normal low for us. Occasionally we'll dip below that, but we have a fairly moderate climate here, so it's a good growing grape growing season, you know.
Well, your location really does moderate the climate a lot then.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
I suppose if you went inland 15, 20 miles, you'd probably change temperature by 20 degrees.
There's a tremendous difference. Actually, where we are, if you can believe it or not, up the end of the street, there's a 10-degree difference in the temperature with just less than a half a mile. And people notice that all the time when they come down there and say, hey, whoa, you know, the temperature just dropped quite a bit. So it really is a differentiation, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing how much. How about rainfall? Do you get a lot?
Well, things are changing, as you know, with this global warming or whatever's going on. But originally we never had to irrigate at all. But now we're getting our dry spells as the rest of the country are. Not as severe, of course, because it's New England. But we're having to irrigate at least 2 or 3 times during the season. And sometimes more, depending on the off years. But this year we probably irrigated at least 3 or 4 times due to the weather patterns. And you know, it's changed immensely over the years.
Well, that's amazing. That so your normal rainfall then would be enough throughout the year to not have to worry about irrigation then.
It always was in New England. Usually you would get, you know, enough rainfall so that it wouldn't be an issue at all. But in the last, I would say, 5 years or so, 5 to 10 years, the patterns have changed. And so we're getting, you know, those dry spells and heat spells. So we're definitely, as a matter of fact, we're in the process of putting in drip irrigation, which was unheard of in New England probably 10 years ago. So we're you know, figuring that, hey, we're going to get ahead of the curve. We've started to do it, you know, between 3 and 6 times a year, and so we're saying, well, it's time to put in the drip irrigation, so we don't have to face that problem having to worry about it.
Well, especially if you're going to be putting in the new acreage in vines, then it's a good time to do it while you're building it. So,
absolutely, absolutely,
it works best that way. I was just going to ask about Langworthy Farms. Have you been there for how long? How long has it been a winery?
Well, we've been here since 1999. We planted our vineyard in 2002 and opened to the public in 2005. So this is our seventh year being open. We put up our new winery and tasting room facility in 2006. So... and we also added a solar component to it. We have 55 panels, which supplies all of the electric for the winery and half of the bed and breakfast that we have on site as well. So it's we're going as green as we can.
Wow, that's great. Do you compost and all that stuff too?
We do.
Do
we
you?
Do.
Great.
Yeah, we've started a program where we're composting all of our grape skins and, you know, so this is actually the second year that we've been doing it, and it's worked out terrific for a fertilizer in their vineyard. We're really happy with the program so far.
We talked to a winery. Mike, do you remember where it was? I'm thinking Pennsylvania, that does some major composting and recycling and providing their own energy, same as you are.
I don't remember the name of it, but it's there was one out there.
Yeah, it was in Pennsylvania.
I know there's a couple of people that I've talked to with vineyards on Long Island that are doing the same thing and really gotten into composting as well.
Yeah, it's starting to become quite a thing now, and the wineries, small ones around the country here. So that's cool. I'm glad to hear that you're doing that. You say you get grapes from Long Island, the red ones from Long Island. So tell us about your wines. What are the wines
that you make? Well, we're producing from Long Island. We're producing a Merlot, a Cabernet Franc, and a Cabernet Sauvignon. And we also have a blend of Cabernet Franc and Merlot currently.
Oh.
So we have 4 wines going. And it's been successful. I mean, they've been growing, the red grapes for quite a few number of years. I think it's like 45 years or so. So their vines are more mature. The grapes are of great quality. So we're very happy with, we actually buy from a small private vineyard that's been there about 15 years, and the quality of the grapes is excellent. So we're very happy with what we're getting, and we're producing, I think, fairly good wines with them. So we're extremely happy with what we're doing.
And then I have to ask, too, we were looking at it, Mike and I were looking at it earlier. Is it pronounced Miskamakut?
Misquamicut, yes.
Quamicut.
Quite a few Indian names around here. But Misquamicut, yeah, it's about a half a mile from us. We're about a half a mile from the ocean. There's a big state beach there, of course, which is pretty well known. We're getting those the ocean climate and the ocean breezes here. And, you know, that works well to our advantage for the growing season.
Do you, I noticed you're 100% no oak Chardonnay here, stainless steel, but do you use oak on all of your reds?
We do, although we've produced a blend, a stainless steel blend, but most of our reds are at least a year in the oak. We use both American and French oak. As a matter of fact, we produce a Cabernet Franc that's some in American oak and some in French oak, and we marry them together before we bottle them, which produces a slightly peppery Cabernet Franc, which people seem to enjoy.
Oh, I love a peppery Cabernet Franc. I really do.
Yeah, I do as well. I like that spicy, so I produce also an American oak Merlot, which is also that has that black pepper in it as well, and which is very, very popular in our winery.
Mm. Yeah. Where are you getting your American oak?
We actually are purchasing from Whirl Cooperage out of Missouri, which is a very well known cooperage. They have facilities all over the world, and we've been very, very happy with their product since we started in 2000, and have stayed with them since then.
Yeah, it's well known cooperage down there. Yeah. And the Ozark oak is great oak, too. It gives some real good flavors.
Yes, absolutely.
So you a little bit of oak and stainless steel that you have sitting there for everything, then, is really...
Yeah, we do a our whites. We also produce, which is unusual, white Merlot in stainless. Which we only spend between 3 and 6 hours on the skins, and and we add a little bit, about 5% Pinot Blanc to it to round it out. But it's a very light summer picnic wine, which is very popular. We sell quite a bit of it, and it's just nice summer wine that we deal with.
The Pawcatuck River Red, what is that a blend of?
The Pawcatuck River Red is our stainless version of a Bordeaux blend, if you will.
Oh.
Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and Merlot. And that's been very popular as well. We've produced that for the last couple of years, and it's been a successful wine for us.
So it may, the stainless, you're coming out with a little bit lighter blend then on it.
Yes, we are. Yeah, and I think you know, people appreciate that, especially the newer people that are getting into wine, which is getting more popular, as you know. And I think it's a great phase in wine for people that are just getting into red wines, if you will. It's a transitional wine that's great for them.
Yeah, it sounds good. It, you know, that's something that people, I mean, and get away from that blush wines and that style, too. Start getting into something that's red and a little bit fruitier.
Right.
I noticed a Riesling on your list here. Those grapes come from Long Island?
Yeah, the grapes, the Riesling grapes actually come from upstate New York, Finger Lakes region, which I think you'll agree probably produces some of the best Rieslings around.
In the world,
yeah,
I think.
And the grapes are outstanding, so we do bring in grapes from the Finger Lakes to do that, produce that one Riesling, and that's about as far away as we go. We normally try to stay locally here. If we don't grow it, we source it from locally produced vineyards over the line. And we actually produce a Pinot Noir that's coming from a Massachusetts vineyard right over the line from us. So it's, you know, we try to stay as local as we can, but we want to produce a quality wine, and so we'll source the grapes where the best quality exists.
And I noticed a release in 2012 of a Petit Verdot. That's also from...
Well, yeah, actually, I think it'll be more towards 2013, if you will, because, you know, it's in the bottle, but... I think we're going to let that one go for a little bit and age it a little bit, but it was tasting spectacularly in the barrel and just before we bottled it. So I think it's going to be a winner, but we're going to let that age for a little bit.
Uh huh. The names you have here, are those all just local?
They are. Yeah, we decided to go with the local. They're all areas right around us, either villages or significant areas that exist right around the winery, and we decided to keep with those names. And you know, it's such a well-known area, and people are really familiar with those particular locations. They also identify with them, and so it's been a great marketing tool, frankly, for us in terms of people recognizing the areas around.
Yeah, that's great. I noticed the names here, and I was thinking, now it seems like it would be the local ones there. Are you in any AVA there?
Well, we're part of the southeastern viticultural area, which includes Massachusetts, southeastern Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. Technically, as far as the ATF is concerned, but so we're in that viticultural area.
I see. Okay. I didn't notice one for there, but that just covers that little area down there. And,
yeah, it does. It covers southeastern Massachusetts and Rhode Island. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. Rather small one then. That's good. The smaller they are, the more precise they are, I think. I hate these ABAs that are spread out over thousands of miles.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Most of your wines then tend to be dry, I noticed.
Yes, they are, and I think that's a vintner's preference. We tend to produce drier wines. Up until this year, we produced even the Riesling was a drier version. This year, we kind of opted for middle of the road, and so we've got a kind of mid-range sugar content Riesling. Which seems to be very popular as well. But, you know, basically we tend towards the drier wines, especially with the Burgundy, the whites, and the reds as well. So that's kind of our forte.
Are you getting any negative reaction from people? I mean, people basically are sweet wine drinkers.
I've noticed that over the course of the 7 or 8 years that we've been dealing wines to the public, people are making that transition from the sweeter to drier wines. We've noticed that since we've been here. I think people are getting more sophisticated in their wine drinking, and because of the number of wineries that are appearing in all 50 states, I think people are being able to taste different varieties and more different kinds of wines, and so I think they're becoming more sophisticated, and I think it's a gradual process, but we've noticed that where we are, that they are becoming more sophisticated, and the drier wines are becoming more popular. That we've noticed definitely since we've been open.
Well, I'm all for that myself. It just, down here at the winery, I have a winery, and I'm just so many people tend to lean toward the sweets, and more power to you on making the dries. But I would think that if the people are switching over to the dries, that's great and that's wonderful, and I like to see it happen more. But so many sweet wine drinkers out there.
Yeah, well, I think it's a question of timing, and I think it's a question of they're getting more sophisticated in their tastes. I mean, the wines that are available worldwide now are, obviously run their gamut. But we get requests for it, and I get a lot of requests and say, don't you make a sweet red? And I just say, no, I'm sorry. Our reds tend to be towards the drier side. And surprisingly, even white wine drinkers will try some of the reds, whether it's a lighter Pinot Noir or one of the other, or the Pawcatuck River Red, the blend. And
yes.
Say, wow, I actually like red. I didn't think I would. And so I think it's a gradual process. It's going to take some years, obviously, but I think people are becoming more sophisticated in their wine drinking, and it's just a gradual process.
And that's very true, because I have a light red myself. That's just a light red blend, and people say that all the time too. Wow, this is a nice red. And thinking that reds have to be real heavy and real strong and walk across the room and pour themselves into the glass, but they don't. you can do
Yeah, that's
lighter
another.
Form.
I meant to mention that. That's another advantage to us because Long Island Reds obviously are not as heavy duty as cabs coming out of California and that front. So there are already a little bit of a lighter version of what people may have tasted in the past. And so I think that's helping in the transition, if you will,
right.
To those kinds of wines, even to the drier stuff, because they're not as high in alcohol and they're not as as full-bodied and intense as some of the California wines. And so I think that's helping in the transition for us.
And that's a good point, too, in the fact that people, I think, are immediately used to the California-style heavy reds. And when they try other ones, they're amazed about how user-friendly, how taste-friendly they are.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's a good thing. I think that people...
I do, too.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that is a great thing. I have to ask now, too, tell us about your bed and breakfast. What started that and why? And
Well, actually, that predated the winery by a couple of years. We actually started that in 1999. And we have a pretty historic property here, which has, going back to the 1700s, was actually one of the first governors of Rhode Island property. And... Yeah, I was actually a land grant from the King of England to a fellow on Block Island. And so it's a very historic property. We know that Ben Franklin stopped here, and we know that Washington stopped here. And so, you know, it is a hot, and then there's a second history with Langworthy, who bought the property in 1852, it was a dairy farm for many, many years, and so it's quite a historic property. We have two different histories with it, which we maintain here on the property and show guests and so forth who are interested, and it's quite interesting. Yeah,
that's very cool. I like that. The history up in that part of the country is just, you know, so great anyway that you have to be part of it, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Government, I always like to ask that. State government and federal government, do you love them, you hate them, want to kill them, want to hug them?
You know, it's a losing battle. I think that, you know, it can be good, but I think that they need to be more supportive. And I think that ATF has been... you know, fairly supportive. I mean, they try to come out. At least they try to do some focus groups and try to do some research before they institute any drastic changes. From what I've seen, the state government has been, you know, they've been pretty supportive of us. Unfortunately, as you well aware, Rhode Island's a small state, so
right.
I think we probably have. 6 or 7 wineries, whereas the surrounding states probably have 30 to 40. And so, you know, we're a small group. We don't have enough legislative power, so we say. So, you know, that's a difficult part of it. But I think they're as supportive as they can be, given that we're a small industry within a small state.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's good. What about shipping regulations? What's the state policy on shipping in and shipping out?
You know, Rhode Island has they've changed somewhat, but they're it's great within state. Intrastate is a different matter. I think it's been difficult for out of state shippers to ship into Rhode Island so far, but I think things are changing. And I've noticed that, you know, even over the since 2005, there's been major changes in some of the states that didn't permit any shipping and now are getting into the game and so forth. So it's a changing ball game. I don't think it's really fleshed out completely yet, but I think it's changing for the better. Let's put it that way. I don't think it's completely there yet.
Can you You don't have state stores or anything. Can you distribute your wine?
We don't have state stores, so we can ship within Rhode Island to anyone, to any residents. Obviously, out of state, you have to be permitted in each of the states.
Right.
And we are permitted in several in California and several states around that we do the majority of our business in.
Oh, good.
Obviously, there's other states that we're looking at that we've had some interest in, and we're looking at that part of it too.
Oh, is there any rules or regulations about in distributing to the stores and different things there?
We're free to actually. We're not in distribution per se, statewide. So we distribute on our own. We do distribute to several liquor stores. We distribute to restaurants on our own, and we're able to do that within Rhode Island. So that's been very helpful.
That's a good thing. That's I'll tell you what. That's compared to other states. That's a rather liberal policy there. That's great.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah, and we're able to sell wine by the glass and other things that previously were prohibited here. So it's been great for us. Yeah.
That's really good. What about wine trails? Are you part of any wine trails out there?
Yeah, we are. We're part of what we call the Coastal Wine Trail. There's 9 vineyards and wineries on this trail, which stretches actually from my end of Rhode Island, the southwestern corner, all the way up to Cape Cod in Massachusetts, which Provincetown, Massachusetts. And there's 9 vineyards right along the coastline, and we've been pretty successful marketing it. We had a very successful fair where we had all 9 wineries there, and we were able to sell our wines. It was in Massachusetts, about central location between most centrally located between all the wineries, and we had a very successful day, so we're going to do more of those. And so, we're becoming more well-known within the area, in our better cultural area here in southeastern Massachusetts, Rhode Island. So we're happy with the way it's the direction it's going in.
That's great. I see you have events coming up here, too, quite a few of them scheduled over the next 3 or 4 or 5 months here.
Yeah, we do. Actually, our next big event is an art show. We've paired up with one of the big art associations. And Westerly, by the way, is a big art community. There's several art galleries in town. Very popular. And we've teamed up with one of the major cooperatives that has probably 50 or 60 artists attached to it. And we're doing, for the first time, we're doing an art show on our lawn here outside the winery in August. I think it's 18th and 19th. And we're happy to do that. And we're hoping for a very successful turnout. And we know it will be. So we're happy with that.
And what is Stuffles on the Deck?
Stuffies. Well, Stuffies. You'd have to be a Rhode Islander to understand that, but Stuffies are stuffed clams, Rhode Island stuffed clams, quahogs, if you will, they're very popular. So they actually pair well with the white wines that we have, and we sell them for $1 a piece, and they get a tasting or a glass of wine for, I believe it's $10, and they can taste 2 stuffies and have a glass of wine or a tasting. And it's been a popular venue. It's actually the first year that we've done it. I think we did it once, and it was very popular, so we're bringing it back for Labor Day weekend due to a lot of requests.
And fantastic. And Harvest Soup, is that a special soup?
Yeah, we've done that before, too. That's a popular item. We bring in, we do 3 or 4 hearty soups in November. People come in, they'll have a glass of red wine and a bowl of soup, and it's just been a successful event for us.
And then in December, truffles.
Yeah, that's also been, since the beginning we've done that. We have actually a an outstanding chocolatier here in town called Hauser Chocolates, and they produce outstanding truffles that they send all over the country, as a matter of fact.
So
we'll pair those up with our red wines and actually some of our white wines as well, but primarily the reds. And, you know, we'll do a chocolate tasting in December. And we also do one on Valentine's weekend, which has been very, very popular.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it sounds like it would be. Yeah. Mike, do you have any questions for Joe?
Nope. You've covered everything I was going to, you know, talk about the wine trailer, and I didn't know what stuff he's was.
That we're on Route 1A in Westerly,
sure.
Rhode Island, if you're down this way, and we'd look forward to seeing you here at the winery.
Actually, it's up that way for us. We're in Florida.
That's true. It's up this way.
Yeah, up this way. Well, tell us more information, contact information for the winery. You told us where you're located, but give us emails and phone numbers and all that good
website,
stuff in case anybody.
We've got a website. It's langworthyfarm.com, L-A-N-G-W-O-R-T-H-Y farm.com. And or you can email us at langworthyfarm@cox.net. A phone number, 401-322-7791. We'd love to hear from you, and we appreciate your time.
Well, thank you very much for taking your time out tonight to join us. I knew you were busy, and I really do appreciate you spending some time with us, telling us about the winery and what's happening in Rhode Island. It's great, and the stuffies sound good. You know, they really
come on up. Okay,
I would
thanks
love
so
to.
Much.
I know. I would love to come up and taste some stuffies and some of your Cabernet Franc, which sounds fantastic too. So, again, thank you very much for spending time with us tonight. I really appreciate it, and best of luck to you.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Night, Nicky.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah, stuffies. That sounds good.
I didn't know what that was.
I didn't either. I didn't. In fact, I pronounced it wrong. The I looked like an L when I was glancing at it.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
I was looking at that, too. It's font or something. I don't know, but... Yeah, you can just barely see the dotted eye, but
I thought it was an L there. Stuffy.
Very nice looking place. The bed and breakfast looks very nice and elegant and everything, and very nice. So check it out. Did he give the website? I didn't even hear the website address. Did he give the website address?
Langworthyfarm.com. Yeah.
What was I doing? I don't know. I didn't hear that. Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah,
very cool.
Fantastic. So mm-hmm. I'm glad he was joining us. He spent a little bit more time than what he said he was going to allot to us, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. He was able to answer all the questions and stuff. So fantastic. Again, thank you, Joe. That was very informative. Our first interview from Rhode Island. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. the state of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations.
Good.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we have to say the full name for the state there. And so, great. And then next week, we are staying in Rhode Island. We should have Andrew from Sheila Lara. Sheila Lara, Vineyard and Winery, joining us. So we'll look forward to that, too. But we've got some time, and I want to cover some odds and ends here. So, first thing, it's time for some more real estate. So everybody can get out there and get all excited about owning a vineyard and real estate. So we'll talk about some more real estate here. Again, if you want to know more information on this stuff, then email me. I will be more than happy to get you in contact with the proper people that are selling this stuff. First one.
As a side note, you're not making anything off of this. So.
No, I'm not. I am not making anything off of this. Neither are you. Neither is the show or
That's
anything
right.
else.
That's right.
I know. Yeah. Thanks, both people. No.
Yeah, not making anything.
It's always fun to hear about what's being sold around. Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Popular winery and vineyard in Lodi. And Lodi is... Eastern California. It's by the foothills. The Gold Rush was right around the Lodi area. This is a beautiful Tuscan-style tasting room and offices and approximately 40 acres of Cabernet and Petite Sirah vineyard. The surroundings are perfect for a bottle of wine with friends to spend the afternoon playing bocce ball. Is that how it's pronounced? B-O-C-C-E, bocce or bocce ball. On the bocce, huh?
I thought it was bocce or something.
Bocce?
I don't know. Maybe.
Bocce?
I don't know. I think something was bocce. Okay,
on
good.
The court, on the bocce ball court, or bocce ball court, or a pleasant conversation at the picnic tables in the courtyard. The price currently set is only for the property. The business opportunity price is not included and is yet to be determined. This is a bonded winery. The wine, however, is made off-site. Owner will consider a joint venture. And it gives a price, a listed price so far. Now, this is just the property and not the winery, of $3,636,000.
Mm.
Whoa.
Wow.
Okay. So, if you're interested, get in touch. I will contact you with the right people. We have a Sonoma County Vineyard Winery and Home. This is 10 acres of Pinot Noir vineyard and a prestigious Green Valley AVA. Still winery building permitted for 2,000 cases annually. A comfortable three-bedroom, two-bath farmhouse built around 1987. Sale includes the winery equipment, and it's priced at a low $1,995,000.
Just like a real quiet.
I know. You got to catch your breath. Next one, a winery, vineyard, and restaurant for sale. This is in Henry County, Paris, Tennessee. Approximately 45 acres, 10-acre vineyard. Includes 3,000 square foot hangar home with a 2,600 square foot blacktop runway. So the hangar home that we've got hangar homes around the area here too, where you have the home and then you have a big garage next door for your small aircraft. So but this is 3,000 square foot hangar home with a 2,600 foot blacktop runway and much more, only $4 million. That is in Paris, Tennessee. Santa Lucia Highlands property for sale. It's 112 gross acres, 30 net plantable acres with two wells. Monterey County premier Pinot Noir growing region for $1.4 million. Doesn't give anything about a building or anything, so that just sounds like just the land. High traffic winery site, a 1.3 Waterview acres with 400 foot of Highway 101 frontage in Depot, I think it's pronounced Depot, D-E-P-O-E, Depot Bay, Oregon. Plans and zoning approved for 4,000 to 10,000 case gravity flow winery with large tasting room, wine bar, and gift shop. Proven business plan, $500,000. Wow.
That's Parma cheap. Rich.
That's cheap, I know. When mm-hmm. you start talking about $3 and $4 million, $500,000, it's $500,000 is really cheap. Mm. Parma Ridge Vineyard and Winery, turnkey vineyard and winery in the Snake River AVA near Boise, Idaho, includes 12.5 acres with 9.5 in vineyards, home, winery, warehouse, and inventory. Opportunity to grow operation. It doesn't give a price. That's scary. If you have to ask, you can't afford it. Next one is Beckman Winery, Vineyard and Home. A country home on 7-plus idyllic acres, Beckman Estate Vineyard. 5 acres of Syrah, Zinfandel, and Cinsault. Winery building and garage equipment and storage building. $449,000. Wow. The next one is a vineyard estate with a winery potential. No winery, just a vineyard estate. 20 acres in the Russian River Valley. That's in Northern California, northeast of Napa, with beautiful home, pool, etc., and buildings suitable for a small winery. Includes 17 acres of prime Pinot Noir with great track record. A winery, UP, almost complete. I'm not sure what UP stands for. Almost complete for 10,000 cases and tasting room. Great location, only 20 minutes to Santa Rosa or Hillsburg. Price reduced from $3,400,000 to $2,650,000. Wow. Chump change. And then the last one, Quail Haven Home and Vineyard. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath custom home on 10 acres, 7.5-acre vineyard and workshop building, reduced to $549,000. Quail Haven, I guess it's in California. It didn't say any more than that. So those are our properties, a very popular feature here on All About Wine. If you want to know any more information or how to get in touch with the sellers on any of those, then email me at allaboutwine101, numbers 101, at gmail.com, and I will forward that information to you so you can become a winery owner.
Mm, just like that.
Just like that. That's all it takes.
That's right.
That's all it takes. So
yep. Yes.
One of our popular features, which leaves us breathless, how much, you know. Remember the old saying within the wine business, you know how to make a small fortune in a winery? Start with a large fortune. So that's always a good rule to remember.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Some more stuff, more bits of information and little things to throw out at you here. Beer and wine collaboration. A Wine Cop Brewing Company released a beer and wine collaboration called Brujolay Nouveau. B-R-E-W, Brujolay Nouveau. Wine Cop head brewer Andy Brown consulted New Belgium Brewing's Peter Bocart and Infinite Monkey Theorem Winery's Ben Parsons about the beer which ferments sour brown ale with 12,000 pounds of Cabernet grapes. The mixture was then aged in wine barrels for several months. The result is a 9.6% alcohol by volume purple beer with flavors of grapes, malt, oak, and sour brown tang, according to the Wine Cop Brewery. Brujolay Nouveau is available on draft at selected Denver locations. Brujolay. I love the name. I just like Brujolay. If any of you people are out there who are fans of the Real Housewives of Atlanta, you might know Kim Zolciak, obviously I'm not a viewer of that, or else I wouldn't know how to pronounce her name. But Kim Zolciak is in Kim Zolciak, Z-O-L-C-I-A-K, is a reality star from The Real Housewives of Atlanta. And she's also on Don't Be Tardy for the Wedding. Has came out with a wine. And she's launched the Viva Moscato Wines. In collaboration with Viva Brands USA. The line is available in peach, strawberry, mango, rosé, chocolate, raspberry, coffee, and pomegranate varieties. The new Moscato wines, as well as Zosiak's line of Viva Diva wines, are launching nationwide. And the marketing campaign for the portfolio will include radio and TV advertisements as well as sponsorship opportunities. So, and it's got her name and her picture on the label and everything. Live life, drink well, it says on the label. But Kim Zolciak, I don't know her, so you know, but if you're a fan of those things, it might be something you're excited about. Breaking a world record, Armand de Brignac Champagne introduced a 1.5-liter bottle of rosé champagne, setting a new world record for the largest. Wait a minute, is that 1.5? Or is that 15? No, I am wrong. I misread that one. I thought there was a decimal point in there, but there's not. It is a 15-liter bottle of rosé champagne.
Wow.
Setting a new world record for the largest bottle of rosé champagne ever produced, it says. The capacity of the handmade bottle is equivalent to 20 750-milliliter size bottles and resembles the company's smaller bottles of rosé champagne, which feature a metallicized pink exterior. It's a pink bottle of champagne, and it contains a rosé champagne. Last year, Armand de Brignac Champagne created a 30-liter bottle, which holds records as the world's largest and most expensive bottle of champagne ever sold. But this is the biggest pink champagne at 15 liter.
And that's almost 4 gallons.
Oh, 4 gallons of champagne. Wow.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. We won't be doing the show next week.
Yeah. Can you imagine opening it up and pouring a little bit and then saying, "Ew, I don't like this."
Oh, no.
No.
I'm still you will got, like it.
Yeah, you will like it. I still got 40 gallons to go. Oh, geez.
Wow.
Continuing on, Moscato-inspired. Fusion Projects, LLC, and Fusion spelled P-H-U-S-I-O-N, launched the Moscato Life, spelled M-O-S-K-A-T-O, Moscato Life, a flavored malt beverage with a taste profile similar to Moscato wine, a malt beverage tasting like a Moscato. Like Moscato wine, Moscato Life is highly lightly carbonated and sweet, which delivers on consumers' desires for varied drink choices. The beverage is available in Moscato and Rosé flavors with 6% alcohol, low alcohol. A 750-milliliter bottle retails for approximately $6.99. The company also expanded its Four Loko FMB line with limited edition of strawberry lemonade as well as new Loko or Coco Loko and peach flavors. The new Coco Loko and peach flavors replace blue raspberry and orange Four Loko flavors. And it suggests a retail price for the 23.5 ounce is $2.50, and it contains 12% alcohol. Moscato wine. Interesting approach there. Ascentia sells its wine brands. Ascentia, E.J. Gallo Winery, Modesto, California, and Accolade Wines of Napa, California, both recently announced brand purchases from Hillsborough, California-based Ascentia Wine Estates. E.J. Gallo purchased Washington State brands Columbia Winery and Covey Run Wine, as well as the operations of the Woodinville and Sunnyside facilities. That just makes E.J. Gallo that much bigger. And Accolade Wines acquired Californian brand Geyser Peak. Wow. And Stablemates Atlas Peak and XYZen. Together with their assets and inventory from Ascentia Wine Estates. Wow, that is quite a transaction there among them. I don't know if y'all are familiar with some of the wines that are out there, but these are some big names and big brands. You can find them on the shelves throughout the country. The XYZen and Atlas Peak and Geyser Peak. E.J. Gallo's purchase marks his first expansion into Washington State. Gallo, as an aside here for all of you listeners, is around the world. They have an unbelievable inventory of wines that they get from around the world. It includes France and Germany and Spain and Italy and many states without within the United States, they have part of their brand lineup and all that. This now they're moving into Washington State. They said, we have been watching the Washington wine industry grow for a number of years and consider these wine brands to be a key part of our premium wine strategy moving forward. This is from Senior Vice President Roger Nibedian. It also goes on to say the purchase will help us expand our footprint and offer our customers wines from Columbia Valley and Yakima Valley appellations. Accolade's acquisition of Geyser Peak, Atlas Peak, and XYZN wine brands will help spearhead the company's growth in the United States, it said. Initially, the company sees a tremendous opportunity to grow the brands within the United States, but it also has the capacity to fit them within its existing portfolio in Europe, the United Kingdom, and Asian markets, especially China, said the chief executive officer, Troy Christensen. China is a big market in wine now. China is enormous in wine now. Australian wines are being shipped to China by the boatloads, as is New Zealand wines. There's a lot of wines coming out of the United States. Napa Valley is shipping wines over there. California, a lot of wineries there. China has become an enormous market. He continues to say, I am delighted to welcome Geyser Peak, Atlas Peak, and XYZN to be the Accolade Wine family. Their acquisitions will allow us to leverage the expertise we already have in global distribution and innovation, help us develop the opportunities we see emerging within the United States. As part of the deal, Accolade will lease Geyser Peak's iconic homestead, its winery, 98 acres of its Cabernet Sauvignon vineyard, and the winery's cellar door. Geyser Peak in the Alexander Valley has an outstanding reputation. It's one of the most awarded wineries in Sonoma County, and we will be exploring the opportunity to expand the higher end of the range while bringing new products to market, he said. So, Geyser Peak has been sold to a European business. Wow, that is an interesting thing. Geyser Peak has been around for a long, long time. You see the wine sitting out there continuously, so that's something. Couple things. Here it is. Oh, the cubesicle, the corksicle, a new product out. Another wine tool called the corksicle, which was launched at the New York wine event last summer, made its debut in the houseware show, the International Home and Houseware Show. The corksicle fits inside the wine bottle to keep white wines chilled and brings reds down to a cellar temperature. Based on retailer feedback, the company is updating its packaging to a sturdier gift box type. The top lifts off to reveal the corksicle nestled inside. Also, the company introduced the corksicle color. Instead of a cork topper, the tops are plastic and come in different colors, ranging in pink, orange, blue, green, white, and yellow. It sells for $24.95, and it will be available now, actually. It said in end of July, so it should be available now. For the original, go to www.corksicle.com. That's CORKCICLE, corksicle.com. What it is just a long, looks like a icicle. All of you are familiar with icicles. If you're not, look it up on the internet, icicles. But it looks like an icicle with a cork on the top of it, and it's chilled or put in your refrigerator or freezer and frozen. And then after you pour a little bit of the wine out of your bottle, you stick this down in your bottle and it keeps it chilled for you, or brings the temperature down. If you've ever had a pitcher of beer at a Hooters, the same principle, where they throw the bag of ice inside the beer to keep it cold for you. This is for wines. It's called the corksicle. another new product called the Capabunga. The Capabunga is a reusable silicone leak-proof cap for a wine bottle once the cork or screw cap has been removed. Developed by two winery owners, Capabunga is made to resemble the bungs used to seal barrels during winemaking. With Capabunga, wine bottles can be laid on their side without leaking. A set of two has a suggested retail price of $8. 15 options and 6 designs are available. Customized Capabungas can be made. You can visit www.capabunga.com to see more about that. So, interesting new products coming out there in the wine world. A couple of them there. And then one more thing I got to tell you about here. Well, a couple more things. Nope. One more thing. This is called Blanc de Bleu, B-E-U, Blanc de Bleu. It is not often that you see a blue sparkling wine. And that's what initially caught the eye of editors of Beverage World, and that's where I got this out of. It's a pastel blue in color. It's the 2009 Blanc de Bleu Cuvée Moëx, or Moëx, I think it's pronounced. Is a California Chardonnay from Mendocino County that gets its color from blueberry fruit extract. This sparkling wine was created by premium vintage cellars with the celebration of special occasions in mind. Something blue doesn't have to be reserved for just one special day. So it's something blue. It is a blue sparkling wine, Appalachian Northern California, a blend of Chardonnay with a hint of blueberry, 11% alcohol, and the champagne style is a Brut style. So if you want to look at it more, find out more, www.blancdebleu, that's B-L-A-N-C-D-E-B-L-E-U, blancdebleu.com. And that's all I have to say tonight.
Wow. You went quite a bit.
Just odds and ends I've been saving up here, and we had a good opportunity to do it tonight. And I wanted to, just different things I wanted to share. So.
Excellent. We had a lot of good information there. And it was great to talk to Joe as well from Langworthy Farm and hear what he had to say. And, of course, I took another full page of notes. more stuff here. So, very cool. Let's see. So that's going to do it for tonight's show, I guess. And we will be back on next Thursday, August the 9th at 7 p.m. Eastern time here in the U.S. I have no idea what that is in GMT, Zulu time.
I have
22,
no idea. Yeah.
2300 Zulu time. There you go. I should know that.
2300
Zulu time. We'll have Andrew with Sheila Laura Vineyard and Winery located in Coventry, Rhode Island on the show next Thursday, August the 9th. So tune in, and we've been doing very well in the archives. Our last, quite a few shows have been really getting up there on the archives. It's really impressive, so I'm glad y'all are tuning in. You know, if you're not on there live, you're definitely listening on the archives after the show's over with, but that's fantastic. So. Thank you for tuning in.
Really, really do.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're on several possibilities here with iTunes and as a free download, as well as listening to it directly from Blog Talk Radio. And even in the archives, it's great to have you with us. It's fantastic. So, great.
And if you have any suggestions or anything to say to us, email us. Let us know you're listening. So, if you have any suggestions for a program or something, let us know.
Yeah. Definitely. And go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr, as in Blog Talk Radio. That's all one word, no spaces or anything. All About Wine BTR on facebook.com. And be sure to like the page there and keep up with the show and what's happening there. You can do that anytime, 24 hours a day, and it's free and everything, of course. So so we'll see you all next Thursday.
Next Thursday, 7 o'clock. Yes.
Oh, gosh. You know what?
Same bat time, same bat channel.
I'm just looking at the ending. Okay. You know what time it is?
A little salsa?
I think so.
All right. Everyone dance. We'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. A special thanks to our special guests who have appeared on the show, and thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in and supporting All About Wine. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page. Go to twitter.com or facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. We welcome your comments and questions by email at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. The email address again is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. All About Wine is a weekly program featuring Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. The winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From Interstate 75, take exit 285 and go west for approximately 4 miles. Or from US 19, the Suncoast Parkway, and US 41, go east on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., for retail sales and wine tasting. Visit the gift shop and enjoy the peaceful setting outside under a large shady canopy of oak trees. Florida Estates Winery is pet friendly, and picnics are welcome. For more information, call area code 813-996-2113. That's area code 813-996-2113. Or visit us on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Again, that's floridaestateswines.com. Be sure to subscribe to our informative bi-weekly newsletter. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio.